Good morning, everyone. Is it good morning? Oh, we're probably afternoon now. Hope you're all well. Let me just make sure I've got all my bits and pieces. Can you all hear me okay? Just type in the chat channel if you can hear me. Yes. So I need to see some people. Where are my videos? Yay. Great. There you are, beautiful ladies. Oh, I'm a bit dark, aren't I? Let me turn my light up. Excuse me. There go. Lovely. How are we all doing? Well, firstly, well done for making it on the call because it's taken some perseverance given the mix-up in emails, but you are here and dedicated. How many people? We've got 29 of you so far. Fabulous. So to get us started off, let's do a little chat check-in. That'll also give some time for any ladies who are running a bit late to join us. So just type into the chat box how, in a few, not super long, but a short little update, how you are feeling and how you've been journeying since Be Wealth. So just a little description of either how you're feeling or anything major that's happened to you. So Emma's feeling focused. Great. Lovely. Nadine is, I haven't, work is crazy taking over everything. Oh, I know that feeling. Heather's ready to take control. We've got some warrior's energy, excited, change is afoot. Yay. Great. And I also want to speak to those of you who are, oh my gosh, Emma's got a part-time job. Woo! Salwa is overwhelmed. Yes. Okay, so feeling depressed by COVID land, but otherwise empowered. Yes. We have to do a bit of separation in our lives, don't we, at the moment? I always believe that, it really serves us to focus on the things that we can control and to not be too pulled in by the things that we can't. So there's some things we can control within our life around COVID and the pandemic, but there's so much that we can't. And I feel it's much better for our mental health and well-being to focus on what we can. And one of the things we can focus on is our wealth, is our money, is our abundance. So that's what we're here to do, which is great. So who else? So Belinda is in the zone. £4 a month saved our car insurance yesterday. Boom. Linda having some tech issues at the moment. Okay, is that stop? I hope that's not stopping you from our session today, but you managed to get a refund from Amazon for a subscription you didn't know you had. Yeah. I also saw, who was it? Was it, it's going to come to me, Charlotte? I want to say Charlotte. I'm not so sure if Charlotte's on the call today. I think I saw her post that she managed to save quite a significant amount on her gas and electricity, her utilities bills, and then got a refund of sort of several hundred pounds. So lovely. And I also want to speak to those of you who are feeling, yeah, it was Charlotte. Yeah, woohoo. Yeah, Charlotte Hill. So I also want to speak to those of you who are saying you're feeling overwhelmed, you haven't had a chance to implement anything. I get it. We have the best intentions. We come off the back of a retreat and life goes boom. And so I just want to reassure you that it's okay because we are on a now, we're on a 10-week journey together. Right? So allow yourself just to feel the sense of relaxation and ease that comes with being able to take 10 luxurious weeks to bit by bit focus on your wealth. Be Wealth was a super intensive 2-day roller coaster, right? And it is designed to do that because what we want to do is we want to be able to get right in there, shake things up, bring them to the surface, release them before you've even realized what's happened, layer stuff in, and you walk out, you're like, boom, you've up-leveled massively. But the reason that we have the 10-week wealth turnaround is because we have seen specifically on this retreat, also Be Vital, we have it a bit. There is so much to wrap your heads around that, and so much for us to cover. One, that we can't cover it all in the 2 days. Before, we used to cover much more during the 2 days, and people's heads were blowing off. So we thought, okay, right, let's start putting some into a follow-up program. And then even if you manage to hold on for the ride during the 2 days, there's so much to get on top of that unless we have this, implementation period, in this period for you to ask some deeper questions, it can easily get too overwhelming, and then you don't manage to really gain traction. And we're here because we want to make sure that you do. So now we've got 40 of you, yay! So I think you all know who I am. I'm Stephanie Aitken, one of the trainers for One of Many and also an in-house coach. So I hope that you all saw me at the event. I know some people had to dip in and out, but I was there for big chunks of it. So I'm going to be taking you through, oh, thank you. Alex is just saying nice pick. Yeah. That pick was taken by the wonderful Sam Jana Moon, who is a brilliant photographer. If ever you want to get some portraits done, she's fab. Anyway, so what I thought I would do to start off, because I know loads of you had questions about the 10-week wealth turnaround. You may have seen the email. You may still be wondering what on earth it is. I thought I'd start off by talking you through and giving you an overview of what this 10-week wealth turnaround program is. So you get it conceptually, you know what's coming up, and you can understand the sort of the pace that we're going to go out. Does that sound good? Just type in the chat channel if that would be helpful for you to lay out the journey. Yes, yes, yes. Great. So basically, we have designed this 10-week program. So let me know. Have you had a video released in your members area yet? Just type yes or no. I'm sitting or nod in the, don't think so. No, I don't think so either. Great, good. Just want to double check. So basically what's going to happen is every Thursday, it should be, you are going to be released, or there'll be a new video uploaded into your members area. And your members area under your programs, Be Wealth or 10-Week Wealth Turnaround. And the video is going to cover one or two specific topics out of Be Wealth. There are also going to be some topics that we didn't cover fully at Be Wealth. One, because as I said, we've taken it out of the main program because it was too much. And on top of it, we did Be Wealth virtually and we had to pull out some content because we simply can't cover it all and then give you breakout rooms and all the rest. So there will be some content that we haven't yet covered, and there'll be some content that's covered in a little bit more depth, or certainly Joe explaining it from a different angle. So it'll help you to draw new distinctions from it. And you know, sometimes when you hear it for the second time, you get it on a level you didn't get it the first time, because maybe you were in a moment where you were feeling overwhelmed, you just saw a massive limiting belief come up and you're like, ah! So you're gonna have a video that each video is about 30 to 40 minutes long on a particular topic. And then you're gonna have the week to implement that, to watch the video and to implement that step. So already what I'm going to encourage you to do is to set aside 40 minutes or 45 minutes every week when you know you're going to watch that video and take some steps. If you can set aside an hour, even better, because then you'll have more time to do the implementation. I haven't looked through I can't remember the length of every video, but I know they're around 30 to 40 minutes. So if you can add on a bit of time and you can just get the homework done, then you'll be much better off. So schedule that time, try and block it out in your diary, same time, same day each week. So that's gonna be your Be Wealth slot. And that's gonna really help you keep up momentum, because otherwise what can happen is, with the best intentions and the best will in the world, I guarantee you, many of you are gonna start not being able to keep up. And, you know, as some of you already seen, life takes over. But if you already block that time out now, you have a much better chance of being able to do that. Then you will have seen the calls are going to happen every 2 weeks. So if you can, make sure that you are slotting that in. Let me just double check something. I just want to see. I'm going to stop the share for the moment. I don't think we need it. Okay, good. I just wanted to double check we're recording, because if you can't make a call, Q&A call live, then there will be the recording. It will be uploaded into your members area. And I'll show you the members area in a moment so you can see. So the calls are at the same time every Wednesday, 12. No, sorry, every Wednesday. On a Wednesday, every 2 weeks at 12:30, from 12:30 to 1:30. So to the extent that you can with work, kids, everything else, if you can block that out, brilliant. It's going to be really about you being able to come and ask questions and then also hear me answer the questions of other people, which can help you understand it more and embed it more deeply. If you aren't able to make the Q&A calls, don't worry, it's not a disaster. You can listen to the recording, you can catch up another one. But the key thing is to really make sure that you're watching the videos and that you're doing the implementation work. And yeah, email is, what did I say? Did I say 12 to 12:30? 12 to 1:30 is what I meant if I said it wrong. Yes, so they're an hour and a half. So plenty of time for you to come and get your questions answered, and know that inevitably people ask questions that you're wanting to ask anyway. So if you don't make it, then it should be fine. And if you don't get around to asking your question that time, usually the way Source works is Source will make sure that we get the questions answered at some point. If you can't make, that's a good question, Beverly. If you can't make the calls, can you still submit questions? And if so, what's the best route? I would say if you have somebody, like one of your buddies, like hopefully you've made some wealth buddies over the course of the weekend. If you can give somebody else your question to ask, you know who's going to be on it, that would be great. You could submit them to talk at one of many. And we'll do our best to get them answered. I just can't guarantee that because we don't necessarily have that as a normal workflow. So that will be above and beyond. And there is a chance something falls between the stalls or falls between the gaps. I can't remember what that expression is. So I don't want to promise you something, have that expectation, and it doesn't work. So if you have somebody who can bring the question for you, then that would be the best. And then failing that, you can submit to talk at one of many, and hopefully they'll be able to get them to me. So basically, yeah, so the Wednesday call with me, every other Wednesday, is going to be a live Q&A call with me. On Thursday, you're going to have a video that's going to be released into your members area. I don't know what time the video is released, I have to be honest. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you what it looks like, okay? So let me just find it, and then I'm going to share my screen for you. Okay. Right, now where have you gone? Here you are. Okay. Great. So can everyone see that? Yeah. Okay, cool. Let me just move you guys over here, or ladies. So you'll have your here's where your menu bar is. You go to programs. Don't look at mine too much because I've got access to absolutely everything we have, plus staff training stuff, but it should be here, 10-week wealth turner. I click on that and you'll come through to a page with, actually, let me show you that. Again, I'm going to have more in here. I don't necessarily know if you're going to have the Be Wealth retreat recordings. I get, as the, you know, on the team, I get access to everything. I get access to the old calls, but you'll have the implementation training program, and then you're going to have your bonus resources. So remember, at various points, we've been talking about other resources. So here's your resource about talking to men about money. And remember, it says men, but we're really, replace that with masculine energy, because you may have somebody in your life. One, your partner may be a woman, and therefore, she may be more a masculine energy, so this would absolutely apply. Or you may have some kind of life arrangement or partnership where you need to discuss your finances with somebody who is a masculine energy, man or woman. So we don't do this, not gendered, and really, I kind of wish they would change that. Maybe we'll get around to it. We've got so many things to update. I think we, one thing at a time. So anyone in masculine energy, that's how you talk to them. So it's, if you look here, there's an audio that you can listen to. So that's really great. Then your money tree for life, it's going through the jam jar system again. Then you have various meditations, the power type release meditation. So if you're still feeling that after the event, we have some limiting beliefs and limiting emotions that are lingering, then you can do the power type release meditation to release them. You have the awakening process meditation. Now, and the limitation release meditation. So the limitation release is the one that we did live with Joe. Can you remember when we went back to a point in time and you was hovering about an hour over the event and did all that? That's what the limitation release process is. So often that's if there's a really deep piece of programming that is hooked to the past that you're really clear on, that can be a powerful thing to do. Honestly, my preference when I want to do release work is I love the power type release meditation because it's gentle, it harnesses the resources of the power types, it works for anything and everything. So that's personally my go-to. Now, the awakening process meditation, I'm going to guess that it's in here because Joe refers to it at some point in one of the videos. It tends to be where if you're not sure on what your unconscious sources of limitation are, it's a process to help you clarify that. Normally during the event, we've got pretty clear. So don't feel that you have to necessarily do that, but I think they've probably put it in there because somewhere we used to basically, so just so you know, we used to make available an online only version of Be Wealth. So if you hear references in some of the videos to the recordings and this, that, the other, it's because there used to be an online only version, which is probably why the awakening process is in there, because people would not have had the benefit of going through the whole Be Wealth process. Then we have the wealth attraction meditation. Who doesn't want that? I think I'm going to listen to that again. I haven't listened to that in ages. Yes, great. And then you've got the personal wealth planner spreadsheet, which is what Sarah talked you through. Okay, so I'll come back to that in a moment just in case you haven't seen that. So let's look. So we're going to look now in the implementation training program. So you click here, you go to course. Now you will only have one video at a time being released. Okay, so I've got everything because again, I have access to everything already. So you'll have the introduction, so watch the introduction. And then week one, the one that's going to be released tomorrow is going to be the first, all of them cover millionaire habits. The first one is your big why. And it also looks at the what, your vision and your values again, for those of you who want to have a refresher on that. And then just to give you a sneak preview, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do this, but why not? Let's do it. Ha ha. So then the next week we're going to, you're going to look at accountability. Then you'll look at how to manage your money effectively. Week four, we'll look at your jam jar system. Five, education you might want to look at. Understanding debt, week six, which we didn't go into in much detail because of time at the virtual retreat. Week seven, conscious money. Week eight, great people. Week nine, protecting your downside. And week 10, commitment and persistence. So loads of great stuff. And even within those topics, there's more that goes in there. So you're in for a really great educational journey that's going to give you everything that you need to make sure that you've got the key cornerstones in place. You've got a really solid platform and you're able to make an exponential difference in your money and wealth. How does that sound? Let me know in the chat channel if that seems exciting to you. Great. Yes. Lovely. Yes, yes, yes. Great, great, great. So that's the journey we're about to go on. And so what we're going to do is, in terms of the Q&A questions, obviously you will have, because it's every 2 weeks, the Q&A with me, you will have had two videos. So the next call that we have, you will have watched two videos. And so inevitably, a lot of the questions will be around those topics, but obviously feel free if there's something else that you have to ask to ask that too, okay? Great, so sounds brilliant, says Tracy. Linda's feeling positive. Great, so I hope for those of you who came on the call going, oh my gosh, I haven't started, I'm feeling blah, blah, now this has helped to calm you down, okay? Because we're gonna take it bit by bit, over 2 weeks, you're gonna have tons of support from me, and we're in for a good ride. So let me just show you, I want to show you also the spreadsheet just so you can see what it is. You should actually, I would imagine you have access to that now already. It's a really simple spreadsheet. And for those of you who are naturally financy people, you may have your own version you want to create. You may find that, you know, this is not the best format. So the spreadsheet is in your members area in the bottom. So you go into 10 week wealth turnaround In the bonus resources, it's the last resource, okay? So basically, as you see here, you've got different allocations. So remember the jam jar system we went through, and some of you may have questions around it, but I'll just do a little mini summary here. This is about helping you really allocate your jam jars. So what you have is, you first of all, it's month by month. So here you have your wages. You might change that to revenue, income, whatever, you know, that's very much if you're in an employment model. So whatever word works for you, change it to that. So that will go in the top line. Any interest and dividends you receive. So if you have interest bearing accounts, if you have stocks and shares, if you're a shareholder and you're paid dividends, put that in there, I would say. And then any other miscellaneous income that may come in from the heavens, tax rebates and things like that. Or like Charlotte Hill, a nice little lump sum rebate from a utilities company. We definitely like them. I actually, funnily enough, in the middle of Be Wealth, I was just about to start delivering part of the training, and I had the gas and electric man come around wanting to take a measure, you know, my meter reading. I was like, I can't, 100 women on call, bab. Poor guy sort of slammed the door shut. But actually I should, because then I can calibrate. Maybe I'll be due a rebate. So this is all the income, and then this is how it gets allocated, okay? So you've got one thing for your housekeeping, you've got one for your growth, one for your savings, education, contribution. So you're actually putting the amounts in there. So the percentages are here. Now remember, when we taught this, these are our suggestions. These are recommendations for how you split your percentages. However, they may not currently work for you in your financial situation, depending where you are on the levels of wealth. For those of you who are in instability or maybe even at security, you may find, actually, I need to put more than 55% in my housekeeping. Okay, that's not going to be enough based on what I'm currently earning. And that's okay. So you may want to increase that, which means you might decrease some of these other percentages. The key thing is, we want to make sure that we get into the habit, even if it's a teeny tiny amount, that we are putting something in each of the pots. The habit is more important than anything else. And it's fascinating, as I've used jam jars over the years, how, even though it feels like a small contribution, how quickly it all starts to add up. And I'll let you into a little secret. This is one of my dark, dirty secrets. So I learned about this jam jar system many years ago, and I was implementing it rigorously. This is back when I was working at MTV, and but I wasn't very good at the growth jar. Spending that, I was very good at the education, that's my thing. And I was doing the contribution, but certainly I wasn't putting away the growth jar. Anyway, long story short, before I went traveling, I looked at my various accounts. I had them split. I had different separate bank accounts set up in my Barclays bank account, which they allow you to do. And I added it all up. And individually, I was like, it didn't look like I had that much. And then when I added everything up before I went traveling, I had a bunch. I had nearly £20,000. You know, I'd had a good bonus from MTV and blah, blah. I was like, great. So what did Stephanie do? Please learn from me and never do this. I just combined them all and headed into the sunset. Oh, God. Ay, ay, ay. I mean, really. So do not do what I did, okay? This was before this is sometimes the danger when you have a teeny little bit of, you have a small bit of education, but not enough. So we're trying to give you enough education so you don't do silly things like Stephanie did. Okay, so basically, then when I came back from traveling, I knew that having this approach of what some people call tithing is really important, but I had to have my housekeeping way, way up above that. So I had, mostly my housekeeping, and then I had a small amount for I was paying into my rainy day fund. That's what my savings was going towards, to build that up. And then I was putting a certain amount. I personally, I'm not recommending you necessarily do this. I think you should still have a growth jar, but I was putting my growth jar to pay off my debt. I think you should still put, even if it's a 1%, put something in your growth jar, set something up, you know, like an index tracker. Anyway, I won't start using too much jargon now. But I had a question here. So, okay, maybe your spreadsheet hasn't been put in there yet. Maybe it's going to be put in there once we hit the jam jar. So I'll find out from the office, because I think you should have it now. I'm just taking note of that for you. Somebody asked a question about this. Gosh, so many chats. Thanks for being so active in this, my darling. I think that was okay. Remind me the difference between growth and education. So the growth pot is your investment pot. Okay, this is where your money is making money for you. So this is when you're investing into something that will allow your money to grow. So it could be, you know, back in the day, there used to be great interest-bearing savings accounts. Now we know, given the crisis we're in, they're pretty minimal, right? They're not doing anything at all. In fact, I just got a letter from my bank account saying that they were reducing it even further. This point's going to go into the negative, right? But you can set up ISA accounts. You can set up stocks and shares ISAs, which actually you have your ISA and it's invested into the stock market. You can invest in an index tracker, which is basically, and by the way, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not giving you financial advice. I'm just throwing out ideas, and then you can take these and go and speak to an IFA, speak to one of the beautiful women that was supporting us in the mentor table. So, but I just want to explain this concept for you because I've mentioned it twice and I don't want you to be going, ah, so an index tracker. So you may have heard of the FTSE 500 or, you know, the, what's the American one? I can't remember, but let's just go with the FTSE 500. So it's basically an index where you have all of the top 500 companies listed in there. And when you have a fund that invests in that index, what happens is you're investing into all of those companies, right? So what you're not doing is investing into one single company. You're investing into the top 500 at any given time. So if one company goes bust or doesn't do so well, they fall off the list, another company comes in. So I've always been told by people who are in the know that that's a really good, solid way to be investing in the stock market, because what you're not doing is investing in an individual company and then tying your wealth to the fortunes or misfortunes of one company. Something happens to that company, it's like, it's gone. Whereas when you spread across, then you're investing in 500, so your risk is a lot lower. So for being able to grow wealth over the long term, you know, chuck some money in, don't think about it, and get that compound interest, that can be a good option. I'm not advising you to do that. Please speak to your IFA. I'm just letting you know that that is one thing you can do with your growth pot. Another thing you might do is invest in some property. You might lend some money out from your growth pot to a property investor. As Joe was saying, and as I was saying, you know, often you can get really great returns. You just want to make sure you do your due diligence. Make sure it's somebody that not only do you like and trust, they don't have to be your best friend, but you know, think you're a decent human being with good, I'm going to stop the show. Well, actually, no, I'll keep that up for a while. Good values, but you do due diligence on them. And if you don't know how to If you don't know how to do due diligence, it's like a tongue twister, then find somebody who does, or get the relevant property education so you know what you're doing. Don't just chuck money at somebody because they say they're great in property and they're going to give you a good return, okay? So then education is you investing in yourself. That's the pot you use to pay for Be Wealth. That's the pot you use to pay and put towards Lead the Change. You know, that's where you're investing in yourself and your own education. That's where you might want to do, you realize, I want to do property investing. So you take that education pot and that's what you put it towards, or buying the books that you buy. In my case, buying books that I buy and then hide in there and never read. Or start reading and not finishing. So I'm just checking if there's any other questions. What might be useful, if you've got a question for me, is to put question at the start of the chat so I can just quickly find them. Because I know that you're also helping each other, which is great. But then it helps me if I'm flicking through to see. I'll open up the lines. Yeah, Debbie's not, I'm not the only ones with books. I know we all have this. I'll show you. I love doing these calls because it's much more relaxed. So I can show you behind the scenes. This is my bookcase of shame. Please don't judge me. There's a book screaming to be read. Right. So let's stop that there. Okie dokie. So let's start opening up. Yeah. Read me, love me. I do love you just from afar. So let's answer some questions that you have. Okay. I know that you haven't necessarily started the wealth turnaround, but you have, I'm sure, got some questions that weren't fully answered during the retreat. So I've got one question come up. Okay. So Geraldine is saying, so you put income into the spreadsheet. Oh, it's already going fast. Put income into the spreadsheet and it calculates the amount allocated to each area. Do we then put the actuals in to compare the actual versus the allocated? So this, I mean, you can set up your spreadsheet as it works for you in your brain. This should be actuals, not, you know, it should always be actual. So find a way to be able to separate out your money. And I would suggest in physical form, like find, you know, use some banking system that allows you to have separate pots. Or certainly, I know that I think Monzo and Starling Bank, I'm not sure you actually have separate accounts, but they separate the money into labeled categories. I'm seeing Ali nodding your head, so I'm thinking that's true. So behind the scenes, I think there's maybe one account, but the way that they separate it out for you can do that. I have, I've actually set up different bank accounts in my Barclays app. And I know I've been thinking about using Starling Bank, but I've been using Barclays since I was 18 years old. So I feel this weird sense of loyalty. So find a way to make sure you're separating it out and make sure that this, what you're putting in the spreadsheet is actually what is there, not what you're hoping to put in, okay? So any other questions? So you can either type them into the chat box or feel free to go into the participants and pop up your blue hand, and then I'll start opening the line to those of you who have some questions. So Ali's saying you can allocate DDs to each of the pots in Monzo. What are DDs, Ali? Sorry, I'm not getting the acronym there.
They're direct debits. So you couldn't, like, when you're going into the shop, you can't, it comes from like the main account and then you have different pots siphoned off. So you need to transfer the money to the main pot in order to pay for it using a card. But you can, if you've got a regular payment, like a direct debit, you can allocate that to regularly come out of one of your pots. So you don't need to do any transferring back and forward.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that.
That's okay.
Lovely. So who's got some questions? We can start off on, continue on Jam Jars. We can go to anything else that you, if you reflect back over the weekend, maybe you've got a questions page. Go into the participants thing at the bottom, pop up your blue hand, and I'll get answering some questions. So we don't necessarily have specific content to cover this one because we haven't, as I said, we haven't started the 10-week wealth turnaround. Okay, Debbie, unmute yourself, my love.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can, hello.
Hello. So I'm sort of holding my head in shame a bit. Because this was my third attempt at, this will be my third attempt at 10-week wealth turnaround. And I am one of the people who never budgets and does the accounting piece, but I always invest first. Mm-hmm. I've invested since I was early 20s, so, and I'm early 50s now. But I have, as a consequently, got 30 years worth of financial paperwork. And at the moment it's on my dining room table and sideboard, and it's been there for probably 6 months. So it gets part of the scenery and ignored. So it's how to overcome that inertia, because it's all, well, it's inertia and a sense of overwhelm and dread every time I start to make progress on it, and then I give up.
Right, I hear you, and I'm sure you're not the only one that's got it's the equivalent of my cupboard, isn't it? Just I've got it hidden away, and actually it doesn't have that much consequence for me that I'm not reading it. So when it comes to things like this that are feeling overwhelming, you may have heard us talk about this before, where it's taking a small chunk. If you could, how would it feel for you to be able to every day do 5 minutes sorting out the paperwork?
I think I struggle with that because I either get sucked into it and end up doing more, and then it gets forgotten again for months.
Okay, so what I'm going to suggest that you do, and it might be 10 minutes, like do 10 minutes, you get something meaningful done, and you're going to set a timer. And you're going to do 10 minutes, and that's it. When the timer goes off, you stop. I mean, obviously, you might want to make sure it's clear where you got to, take a note of where you got to, and then you stop no matter what.
Okay.
You don't get sucked in. And then the next day, you set your timer 10 minutes. And it doesn't matter how far you get, because at the moment, 10 minutes is 10 minutes more than is currently happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's having those small little chunks timed, don't go over. And it's that thing where actually, it's almost like, you know, when we were talking about paying off debt, it's better off to pay the smallest amount of debt first. It's like, here, just do a small little amount, keep plugging it away at it. And actually, you'll probably find, I mean, 10 minutes a day, that's an hour a week. And if you're over an hour a week, you're doing over an hour a week, in a month, you're going to be in a completely different position.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Just little chunks at a time.
Yeah.
So when are you going to set aside your 10 minutes?
I'm going to, what day is it today? Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start tomorrow.
That's the right answer. And the only answer. Well, no, actually, the other answer could have been today. What time of the day are you going to do this? Yeah, let's set the same time every day. We can give you Sunday off, maybe Saturday.
Well, no, if I do 6 days a week, that's an hour a week, isn't it? Yeah. I'm going to say 11 o'clock in the morning. Okay. I'm off work after surgery for the next 5 weeks. So I've kind of got 5 clear weeks in my diary.
Okay.
So 11 o'clock, something I can do every week.
Okay, great. And
yeah.
Have you got your phone there with you?
Yeah. Do you want me to put a reminder in my phone now?
Right now, you're going to put it in as a reoccurring appointment, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's it, 11 a.m. Monday through to Saturday, 10 minutes. And then when you go back to surgery, then find another 10 minute slot that you know you can do every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if anyone else knows that there is some gremlin of a pile of something lurking, then I can see Salwa nodding her head. I can see you. So make sure that you're implementing this for yourself as well. Same thing. Figure it out. Time of day. Be really diligent. And if you need an accountability buddy.
Well, I've got my circle, ladies. So.
Right. Great. So own that you have this commitment to them as
well. I'm going to tell them in the WhatsApp group.
Good.
And ask for daily accountability on that.
Lovely. Perfect.
Thank you. Thank you, Steph.
You're so welcome.
No, it's so simple.
It's all good. But sometimes the simple things are what we need to address, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you, my dear. So, this can be applied for anything that we are ignoring, right? So take that on board for any of you who also feels that there's something you need to start chipping away at. And it could even be, I know I've told you to have this hour a week to set aside, you know, one block to set aside your 10-week well turnaround, but you could also implement a 10-minute little sprint for you to tend to your money daily, or 5-minute thing. You know, set an alarm in your phone, 5 or 10 minutes a day where no matter what, you're going to spend time giving some money, love to your money. And, you know, some days you may not have much to do, but you can, there'll be plenty given what we're looking at. Okay. Good. So Who's next? What other questions have you got, my loves? Ten to Zen, I like that. Yes. Is that an actual thing? Is that like a book or have you just come up with that in the moment? Sounds like it could be a good book title. And if you if it isn't a book, then maybe you should write it. I would buy 10 to Zen and then I would leave it in my bookshelf. So, so hands up. Who needs some help? I'm just going to put lower your hand, Debbie. So you can either, so go into the participants box. There should be a blue hand. You can just put your hand up and, oh, it is, it's now a book, but I used it 5 years ago. Okay. Who's got some questions? Look over your notes and think, what were those things? And maybe there's some, you know, go to your action notes page. Maybe there's some actions there and you think, oh, actually that sparks a question. I am here for as long as you need me, but if... Ah, great. Tracy, do you want to unmute yourself, my love?
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
So my question relates around pensions, and I've worked in a number of different organisations over the years, and I'm sure I've got little pots in different various places. And I wanted to ask sort of the best advice. Am I best to try and pull them into one after I've found them? Mm-hmm. I've had a look on Companies House and can see where I need to go in terms of contacting previous employers, administrators about where, if they've got the pots. But I see advertised on the internet loads about other companies that can sort of all pull them in, but I guess they want a fee to do that. And yeah, what are yours or other people's sort of, advice or... Is it a good thing to do to pull it into one, or am I better off leaving them on their own?
So the answer is, well, firstly, definitely get specialist advice.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you some ideas.
Thank you.
Get you as a starter for 10, not giving advice. But unhelpfully, it depends.
Okay.
It kind of depends on how much is in your pots.
Not a lot.
Yeah. If you've got 5 pots with £500 in them, then what the next thing to ask is, okay, well, how much is it going to cost me to move them across? And you want to be thinking not just about the amount, like say it's going to cost you £1,000 to do that, but also think in terms of percentage. 5 pots of 500 is oh, I'm so bad at mental maths. It's so stressful for me to do it live as well. So can somebody just do it? I can do it, but there were about 40 women look at me and like, okay, thank you. 2,500, thank you. So, you know, you want to look at the fee. What proportion is it? Like, if it was £1,000 fee, it's like, that's nearly 50% of the thing. It's just, that doesn't make sense. That's like eating your wealth rather than building it. You're almost better off to have them sitting and doing whatever they're doing. And then when you hit retirement age and you can get access to them, to access them at that point.
Okay.
If, however, you've got maybe a few little pots, but you've got one that actually you're surprised it is quite meaningful, then again, you do the same analysis and it may well be worthwhile you doing. Are you currently employed or are you currently business owner with a limited company?
Currently employed, have been there for about 6.5 years. So that's not a bad scheme that we're in actually, which is quite surprising because we're a charity. And prior to that, my previous employer was commercial and I was with them for about 7 or 8 years. And again, they've got quite a good plan as well. So I know those two pots are quite good.
Yeah. So then you may have some decent pots. I mean, there is you definitely obviously want to be taking advantage of any current employer's pension schemes, you know, when they're matching contributions, that's money for nothing.
Yeah, like, they do that.
Yeah, absolutely keep that going. What you then might want to do is you might want to collate all of the other pensions that you have into, say, something called a SIP, which is a self-invested personal pension, which gives you a little bit more flexibility in what you do. You might even, now this is pretty advanced. I'm not sure if, I'm just going to put this out there. Whoever you use to advise you, ask them about the possibility, if you do that, of tipping out money from your current employer's pension into the SIP, but you keep the pension going.
Right.
I think most IFAs are just like, you know, gosh, no. I know that in certain cases, it is possible. Companies don't like it. IFAs think it's like, a lot of IFAs can be like, oh, that's kind of, you know, not what one does. I know it's possible because I know people who have done it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, I'm not sure about specific case studies of people tipping into SIPs, but I know that they have tipped into SAS. So it is a possibility. So something for you to think about, if it makes sense for you to collate them.
Yeah.
And you think, actually, I want to be able to build that pot up to do something more meaningful with and do some investments and so forth. Now, one thing that you want to be checking also is what type of pension it is. As Geraldine pointed out, they may have final salary schemes. And with final salary schemes, you do get additional benefits. And to move them, you have to actually pay a considerable amount. Like, one, you have to get almost like a structural survey on them. And because of issues in the past where people have been, what do you call them? Like sharks who've basically taken advantage of people and dodgy schemes and stuff. So now they've really become very strict on that. So, does that answer all of your questions?
Very much. Yes. Yes. I've just now got to take action. So thank you so much.
get the right advice, take action, but trust yourself. It doesn't need to be that complicated. This is just, how much is it going to cost me? If I was to combine it, what would I be able to do with that? And is that going to be more beneficial to me than having them sat in lots of individual pots? Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So I can see, so I'm just taking, I've saw a question pop in. Debbie's asking, what's the difference between a SIP and a SAS? Now, I mentioned SAS a couple of times. Now we've got a bit more time. I'll just explain the difference. So a SAS is a specific type of pension for entrepreneurs who own limited companies. And it was set up by the government as a tax advantageous scheme. And what it will allow you to do is, provided you get the right advice and so forth, you know, you need to get advice on all the stuff, but let me just talk you through the theory. If you do have a limited company, or you have your partner, husband, who has one, or business partner who has a limited company, you need a limited company to act as a sponsor to bring the SAS pension to life. Now, what you can do is you can transfer any other old pensions or other pensions you've got going on, with the caveat of final salary schemes, you need to get advice and so forth, into, and you collate them into this SAS pension. Now, a SAS pension, if you set one up, you are the trustee. You are the one that controls it, you own it, and therefore you decide what you invest in. Whereas any other type of pension, you are not the trustee, okay? You've got a main trust above and you sit, yours sits under that. Which means on things like death, your death, we're all going to die at some point, right? After a period of time, you would have to, that money has to come out of the pension and then pay inheritance tax. The thing about a SAS is you can have up to 11 people added to it. You can nominate beneficiaries, and the thing, it stays alive, and you can pass on your wealth to charities, to the next generation, without it necessarily having to incur inheritance tax. It also allows you to have a lot more flexibility about what you can invest in. So in a SIP, you can invest in certain types of property, but usually it's only commercial property, like really bog standard shops. And even then, SIP providers are a bit like, some of them are a bit hesitant. With a SAS, you control it. You can invest in all types of property except for residential, unfortunately. And you can invest in anything, but not things that you can enjoy. So the HMRC doesn't want you to invest in, boats and art and wine and things that are going to fritter it away. And But you can buy land, you can buy commercial property, you can also lend to other property investors. This is what I do with mine. And there's a lot around it. I'm not going to go into too much detail because it's only relevant for those of you who have a limited company or have a husband with a limited company. And you've got, the other thing is that there are costs involved in doing that transfer. So it's only worth doing if you have a certain amount in, you know, if you combine all the pots and you have a certain amount in there to make sure that the fees that you pay are not too exorbitant and are not going to eat away too much at your wealth. So if what I'm sharing right now is something that you're thinking, oh, actually this does relate to me, then and also the other thing you do is Emma's asking, can it be started with a lump sum? Yeah, so if you have a lump sum, you can also, for some people, even if you don't have that much in your pensions, but you've got a lump sum that you want to be able to put into this kind of vehicle, then absolutely you can set it up. Just you want to be willing and ready to put money into a pension and therefore not be able to access it again necessarily, you know, easily, because it's now owned by the pension. And you want to be able to make sure that you're going to be able to continue to contribute. So for some people, it's not going to be appropriate. And it definitely, so the company does have to be active. That's the, Alex. So if this sounds like it's relevant for you, then maybe we can have, like, reach out to me and I can have a separate quick conversation with you, and I can introduce you to Kevin and his company Wealth Builders, which is the one you'll remember I used to speak for and set up my SAS pension, and then they can go through and see whether your situation is appropriate. They're really ethical. They will not do anything that they feel is going to be minimizing your wealth rather than building it. They will say no to people. You also want to make sure that you are doing something to educate yourself so you know what to do with it, because you now have keys to the kingdom, and with great power comes great responsibility, and you then are responsible for making sure that your pension is growing. You can just chuck it into, that sounds a bit casual, you can choose to invest it into stocks and shares as you would a normal pension, but you have the possibility to do much more. But you are the trustee, so you need to be doing this. So one of the things I'll ask is, if you don't have this knowledge yourself, you or your partner, what are you doing to get the education to make sure you know what to do with it? Okay, because they don't want you to just get a SAS and they're not doing anything with it. So yeah, they're called Wealth Builders, and I will happily, if you let me introduce you, let's have an initial check so I can cover off the basics and make sure it's even worth your time having a conversation. And then if you let me introduce you, then, you know, I've got a really good relationship with them, and that just kind of will put you up the pile. Because if you reach out randomly, you know, I mean, they're busy and all the rest, but if I say, listen, these are people from my community, then they'll take care of you. So great. So thank you, Tracy, for bringing that that pension question. Hopefully that extra piece has been helpful for the rest of you. Let's go to the next question. I've seen JJ's had her hand up for a while, and I also saw Salwa had put her physical hand up. So let's go to JJ first.
Hi there.
Oh, and I saw Nicola as well. Yeah, sorry, Nicola as well. You disappeared there for a moment, Nicola, but you're back. So our author, our resident author, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. My question is, I want to invest in ethical stocks and shares, but I just don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. I've got one pension, and that's in an ethical, sort of stocks and shares. I know they don't sort of tend to do that well, only because it's ethical, whereas I just remember the person I spoke to at Barclays, he said, oh yeah, things like gambling, tobacco, they're the things that do well. And I'm like sitting there thinking, well, I don't really agree with those sort of things. I want an ethical one. So that's what I went for. So I've got quite a lot of savings. So I want to use some of it for investing. I sort of want to start, because I've been sort of just for the last kind of 6 months, I've not done anything really, because I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know where to start.
So the person you want to speak to is Rebecca Robertson.
Okay.
He was one of the roundtable mentors, and this is her this is her thing. This is one of the things. Oh. She supports women. She's an IFA, and she's specifically really keen on ethical investing. So okay. she's the lady that's going to be able to give you the answers that you need, or certainly set you on the right track.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. That's great. Thanks. So let me come to Salwa first, and then we'll go to Nicola. So you need to unmute yourself, my love.
Hi there.
Hello.
All right. So I've got two big questions, but I'll ask one first this week. And if there's no time, I'll ask next week.
Okay, that's generous.
I'm like an ostrich. I put my head in the sand to avoid whatever's happening that I don't like.
Okay.
So I've got an endowment fund for an interest-only mortgage I bought 20 years ago. Mm. The letters I'm getting, I pay £125 a month. It's supposed to give me back 65,000 at 25 years. So I've got 5 years left. Mm-hmm. But the predicted, what I'll get now is about 10,000. So if I'd been saving that 125 myself without interest, I'd have got more than that. So I wrote them and they said, find the financial advisor who advised you, because that's been missold. Turns out he's now a butcher. So I can't deal with him, and they sent me a £50 check as a goodwill gesture, which I didn't cash because I got so angry. But then I've left it, I haven't done anything about it, and I don't know who, whether it's a financial advisor or an accountant, I need to sort this out.
Mm. And who were you on a round table mentor group with over the weekend?
It was a property investor.
Oh, you went with a property one. Okay. So I would say speak to one of the IFAs that were our mentor. So there was Rebecca Robertson, Catherine Morgan was one of them. Nikki Ramskill, she was more in terms of small investments. Was there anyone else who was in a round table mentor group that was speaking to, and it sounds like she would have been a good match, because I wasn't in them all and I can't remember what they all did. If there's anyone else other than Rebecca Robertson or Catherine Morgan and you were in their group and you think, oh yeah, she was saying something about this, pop it into the chat box to help Salwa, because this is something that definitely you're crossing over into financial advice and also legalities. I used to be a lawyer, but I was an intellectual property lawyer at MTV. So if you want to talk to me about, you know, some piece of writing or art that you've created, I can give you some advice, but financial law is like not my bag. So, but this is something where you definitely need to get some advice. And I think you probably did the right thing to not cash that £50 check, because that's that piece of where it's that tacit acknowledgement that you agree that that's enough compensation. And I'm sorry, 50 pounds is not adequate compensation for that. So yeah, get some answers from the right people.
Thank you.
Is that good? So yeah. We'll come back for your second question if we have time afterwards, yeah?
Okay. No worries. Right, thank you.
So let's go to Nicola then. Nicola Moore. If you want to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I don't know how to put my hand back down now, but thank you. This is a question more practical about children and helping children with money. So I've got three children. Mm. And the age ranges are quite, there's quite a spread of ages. So I've got a teenager all the way through to, you know, I've got one in secondary school, one in junior school, one in infant school. So they're at different stages of their life. But we've always been very crap with how we pocket money stuff. So we've been doing everything wrong so far, but not anymore. So that's good. But my question is really from a practical sense, like, what do people think about, should I be setting up bank accounts for these three? And certainly the secondary school lad, he goes out at the weekend and he'll buy himself some food, or he'll, you know, travel somewhere. I don't know whether I should be putting money, he can use an account like that, or if I should be putting money on a zip card for him, or I just don't know. The jam jar thing in our house is not going to work. I've discussed it with my husband. We don't have a lot of cash around the place. And I think that if we try and do the jam jar thing, you know, you're only as strong as the weakest link. And my husband is quite a weak link. So he won't understand the value of those jam jars. He'll dip in if he needs to pay for a something or other. So I just don't see that working. I think that it would be better for them to be able to physically see them. I know they need to touch it and feel it, but actually to see in an account what's happening.
Yeah, and that's fine. You know, you can set it up in the way that works for you. Yeah. So I mean, you can. I don't have children. So those of you who do and have set up accounts for your kids, pop into the chat channel what you've done, because I think I agree with you. If you can have some form of I mean, obviously you've got the pocket money piece that they're going to be spending, and they may need that in, yes, you know, one separate thing, or maybe even, you know, some physical cash.
Yes.
But then you want to have a giving and a growing, yes, or savings. And you can set up accounts for that. I think for your teenager, absolutely having a prepay, yeah, card that, mm-hmm, he can spend on, where he can't overspend because it's a prepaid, right, card.
That's what I'm wondering. I don't know if these things, I've looked at Starling Bank, and I've set up a Starling Bank account now, and so is my husband, and we're in the process of transferring everything over.
Yeah.
But I can't, there's no telephone number for them to have a chat with that I can see. So I'm just...
Right. So let's just have a quick look, because some ladies are putting, so Nicola's saying, I opened an OSPR account for my son.
Right.
Go Henry apparently sounds,
oh, that's brilliant. What it is, Go Henry, but that's just for spending. I didn't think that
and perhaps, you know, this, I think Starling lets you have cards for your kids. Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to be a bit of where you have to do a little bit of research to see what's going to be the best.
That's right. It's almost like this is helpful. It's almost like just having that first start and hearing what other people are doing.
Yeah.
The momentum somehow. So
because what you may end up doing is you may have two separate things. So you could have the simple account with a card, which is the prepay version for the spending piece. I mean, obviously your infant is not necessarily, the youngest one may not need that yet, but for the teenager. Yeah. And then you have a separate set of accounts which is about contribution and savings, mm-hmm, or growth. Yes. And which one was it that I can't remember off the top of my head what James has. What's his third pot?
It's spending, saving and sharing, isn't it, or something like that? Or...
oh no, so it is grow. Mm. So he's got fun, grow and give. Fun, grow, give.
Yeah.
And so I think that grow piece is great because it's getting the idea of investing the money, and then you could set up a day of the month where everyone sits down and they decide, you know, it's like, okay, so what are you gonna put your contribution? Either you set it up so it's a regular thing, mm-hmm, or it could be, what do you want to be giving to this month or something like that, and make, yeah, it part of the conversation. Everyone does. It makes it kind of fun. Yeah. What's a charity you've seen this month that you really, or you know, it allows them also to if they like to, you know how people are often doing GoFundMe for good causes and things like that. Like, they may have friends or people they know that are doing that, and
yeah,
each of you can have a conversation. Oh, I've seen my friends doing a marathon. I want to be able to give.
Yeah,
you know, or your friend, their friends are probably not doing marathons.
Yeah, no, I'm just laughing because we've been having similar conversations, but then they've come up with, well, what if I give money to one brother and he can buy his trainers, and he gives me some of his money. Buy some trainers. So they're not really grasping it at the moment, but we'll get
giving you'll get there, giving to good causes.
The reason
I think it might be fun to do it as this monthly family thing is it then becomes something where there's some consciousness around it.
That's the thing, there needs to be the consciousness, and that's what worries me about not having the physical jam jars, is that
everyone pulls up that, I mean, everyone again, oh gosh, I can see my video's a bit delayed. Everyone, you know, you pull up on the screens,
yeah,
on different devices. Okay, let's open up our accounts. Everyone opens up the accounts.
Yes.
And then you can make this group decision. Each person gets to decide and share why they want to give and why it's important to them. And it can be this really beautiful thing, rather than it being a monthly direct debit that goes out and they don't ever think about.
Mm, yeah.
I think, you know, I quite like that consciousness of making that decision around it. So they're really, it's Because really it's about conditioning the principles in their mind.
Yes.
More than anything else, and getting them set up into this habit.
Yeah. And I'm seeing on the comments here that GoHenry does have this thing for children. It does have POTS, apparently. Yeah. So I'll look into that again, because I'd ruled that one out, making an assumption. So that's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, great. So if anyone else, again, if you have any suggestions, pop them in the chat channel and put at Nicola so she can see, so she can spot that. But thank you for bringing that. Right. Anyone else got any further questions? I know that Salva's got another one, but just seeing if anyone's got any burning questions that I haven't seen, if anyone's popped anything, a question specifically in the chat. Looks like lots of supporting each other, which is lovely. Yeah, and so Debbie, so Salwa, Debbie put in here, I don't know if you've seen in the chat, she said, dig out any paperwork from when you bought the endowment policy and also write down what you remember from the verbal discussion with your financial advisor. And then, yes, go to a financial ombudsman. So hopefully you saw that. Blue hands. Who's got a blue hand to put up? Okay, so whilst you're thinking, I'm going to come back to Salwa and see what her second question is.
Right, I feel really stupid asking this.
There are no stupid questions in here, Salwa.
So this is about my pension. Mm-hmm. So I worked for the NHS in Dorset for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And then I retrained and worked and trained in wheelchair for 7 years. So I've got those two pensions, mm-hmm. which I know nothing about. Mm-hmm. But for the last 7 years, I've worked as what you call a locum. And the person I work with says she doesn't pay pension, even though she pays the others. But because money isn't really my friend, I didn't worry about it. I just took what she had to
wasn't your friend, is now your best buddy.
Hopefully. So I haven't worked for the last 11 months. Mm-hmm. My question is, do I need to find someone to collate the two NHS pensions, or they're automatically done?
No, and I usually with NHS pensions, anything that's government services, you can't move usually. So I don't know the answer whether or not you can combine two NHS pensions, but normally, yeah, as Ali's putting her hand up, do you want to just unmute yourself and share, darling?
Yeah, that'll be a lot quicker than me trying to type furiously in first. So your NHS schemes, they will be defined benefit pension schemes, which means for each year that you were with that firm, you will have accrued. It will depend on the year, because NHS schemes have changed over time, but you will have accrued a percentage of your final salary or your career averaged salary. So when you come to retire, it will pay you an income, and that income will increase with inflation. As you move through retirement, it will not end. So defined benefit pension schemes are very valuable. Never move them. They're like, if everybody could have a defined benefit pension scheme, it'd be wonderful. But so it's worth looking at what you've got, and you should get an annual statement from your pension provider telling you what you've got. If you haven't, they may have you changed address.
Yeah, many times.
Yeah, so it might be worth the NHS pension scheme has got a website. It might just be worth getting going and contacting them and getting a statement from them. Was the recent stuff that you were doing, is it still within the NHS?
The jobs I did were, yeah, hospital NHS work, yes. Yeah. But I wasn't sure if they'll automatically come under one pension, or I have to chase the previous ones.
There may be differences between how much you get for each of the, depending on the particular schemes, but they should all be recognised as one, because they'll be linked to your national insurance number. Okay. So when it comes to retirement, they should all be available to you. But I would make sure that they've got your current address so that you can get a statement, and then you can just double check all of that.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you. You've got the personal experience of it, so it's very helpful. Thank you so much, Ali. Yeah. You know, with when I was helping people with their SAS pensions, that's one thing that you cannot move into a SAS either is, you know, if you NHS, firemen, policemen, anything like that, and you don't want to, because as Ali pointed out, they're actually really, like some of the best pensions you can get in terms of the benefit that you get out. So, yeah, does that answer your question, Sawa, to give you enough that you need?
Yes, thank you.
Great, you're welcome, my love. So we've got Joy. Do you want to unmute yourself? You put your hand up, hopefully to ask a question.
Maybe. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, sorry, I've been having some connection problems. I was just wanting to know, a quick win, basically. Is there any accounts that you can recommend for moving some money into straight away whilst we're going through this process?
So you mean bank accounts?
Yeah.
So what would be your, move them from where and for what purpose?
Well, the savings accounts that we've had, they've all gone to pretty much zero.
Right.
And that's where they're sat at the moment. I'm going through this process in order to make some investments and stuff. Mm. But whilst they're just there at the moment, I was wondering if there's any sort of quick win that you could do by just shifting them over into somewhere.
So that's something that really an IFA will be best placed, because that's kind of,
right.
Or you can do a money, actually, first step, look at Money Saving Expert.
I did look at, he was recommending an F&I, is it? Okay. And it's the government one, so that they had like a subsidised amount. And so that was the best one on offer. Mm. But quickly, like the week after, when I was glad I hadn't done it, because that sort of fell apart and they were moving to sort of shut it down type thing. And that was...
it's funny, yeah, we live so in a time where already when you said a government thing, I was like...
But it was like a government investment scheme that was supposed to be, it was used to have something in the background, right, where they used to put some money in or whatever so that people who were on the basics could make something. But yeah, that fell apart.
Yes. So lesson learned there, good thing you didn't move it. So I would, you know, as if you want to be getting some quick insights, look at see what other accounts, because the beauty of that is it does require somebody to have done the comparison work. I haven't done that. Money Saving Expert is a pretty reliable space. And be looking at the fine print. This is what you want to be doing. Be looking, what is the cost? You know, is there any setup cost or ongoing costs that I have to pay for this bank account? Is there any time delay around setting it up and or time delay for me to withdraw my money? So you just want to make sure you're really clear on those components, because if this is a matter of just let's pull the money in one place, which is going to be better than where it is,
you
want to make sure that you're not actually putting yourself in a worse position. And then the second piece is obviously getting advice on what to then...
You get an IFA, yeah.
Yeah.
The people you recommend, would they be the people who like the mentors? I would take it that they don't do personal things anymore. They're probably,
what do you mean by
bigger than that? Or if we just want an IFA to go and talk to now, where's the best place to do that? Is it to look on the website or
our mentors are a great place to start, because they're people within our community that understand our values, that have been through our content, that that we work with and trust. Not all IFAs are made equal. If you do pick, if you do go for somebody, you really want to be looking at, well, how are they getting paid? What percentage is it? Because sometimes I remember
tied to a bank and stuff.
We can be tied to a particular scheme. So I remember I was speaking to somebody from St. James's Place, and later on when I was looking into it, schemes they set up, you have to be tied into and pay a penalty if you come out. And they're basically, you have to be careful that they are truly independent. And that's a thing to ask your IFA. It's like, so how do you get paid? Because if they basically get paid to sell you a particular scheme, then they are not truly independent.
They're not independent, yeah.
They have a vested interest in getting you into whatever scheme they're associated with. So that's one thing I would agree.
I take it that everybody that you work with, they are truly independent.
Yeah, my belief is, but I haven't done that. I haven't done that check, you know, so ask that question.
Due diligence.
Any IFA, even the ones we recommend, do the same due diligence you would. Because we use it as a platform because we know that they're from a values perspective, they do good work and they're recommended. But what we're not doing is we're not recommending them because we've done the due diligence on them. Does that make sense? You must absolutely do that for yourself.
The list of those people, is it the people that were the mentors?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. Other people, I don't know where you've been. I think you've been emailed it, maybe, the list of mentors, and look and see what they were advising on.
Yeah.
So I know that, for example, Rebecca Robinson is an IFA. Catherine is, but from what I heard, she's moving slightly more into coaching.
I'll have a look at that. That's great. Thank you. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you're so welcome. So let's go to Beverly. Just need to unmute yourself.
Yeah. just a quick question to ask about financial records and how long to keep them for. Because I'm very overwhelmed with finance paperwork and it's very, very out of hand. So I need to do my 10 minutes a day. But it's knowing, I think one of the things that always stops me is being very cautious. And on one hand, that I know that you need, I think, is it 7 years they recommend for tax purposes?
I think it's 6 years, but type into the chat channel if anyone knows for absolute sure, for definite.
But then you get situations like Salwell's where later it would have been, if you almost sold something, it'd be much better to have the paperwork. So I didn't know if anybody had a...
Well, if you think about it, okay, maybe it's Anne saying, I think it's seven. Let's go with seven just for for safety and we can look it up or someone can Google it whilst we're on this chat and then type it into the chat channel. So you know, use your logical brain on this one. Is, you know, when you look at the paperwork, is this something that I'll need to have access to in the future? So if it's your, you know, I need to do this. If they are your salary slips from 15 years ago, then reasonably, other than for your own interest, do you need to keep a record of that? Probably not. Right, there's no benefit you can gain that's not going to have an impact on your current life. If it's an endowment policy that actually is going to be paying out in the future, well, yeah, absolutely, you want to keep that. So just be thinking, keep it for the minimum amount of time for tax reasons, and then anything else you can make a decision. Is this something that is going to be useful for me to know in the future? Not because I'm holding on to it out of a squirreling habit. I can't remember who our squirrel was from the weekend. But more out of a place of, is this information that I'm genuinely going to need?
Lovely. Thank you.
And if anyone else has some...
Yeah, I think there was stuff coming up in the chat, but I didn't read it. So,
Wendy's saying, keep initial paperwork forever, then only the latest statements. Brilliant. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, setting up certain things. I mean, you could also maybe transfer, if you had the time and the desire... you could transfer some stuff from paper onto digital, you know, if you really wanted to do that and go through and go, okay, well, I'm just going to record what my, some people might want to record what their salary was, you know, and just go through quickly and create a spreadsheet and you've got a record of that. So that might be another way to do it. It's like, okay, I don't need the physical evidence necessarily, but for interest, I might want to have access to that. That's another option. Nadine's saying you could scan documents if you want to keep them. Bank statements can be kept as PDF files. Obviously, we want to be in a world where we're moving as much as possible to paperless. So does that give you enough clarity for now, Beverly?
I think so. Yeah. I just need to get on with it. But that's a good start. So that was my thing, just knowing where I'm heading.
When is your 10 minutes a day?
I have a very changing schedule day to day, so it's slightly difficult to...
When is the time of the day that you're always at home?
About 9:30 at night, it's quite clear.
Okay. So, I mean, it's quite heavy going 9:30, but if that's the time you know for sure, 10 minutes, that's not going to be too depleting.
Yeah, exactly.
Pop it in, 10 minutes, get your phone out or your computer, reoccurring diary appointment right now whilst we're here, and you're off.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. Don't call me coach for nothing. So that's great. Who else has a question before we wrap up? Okay, looks like we've exhausted the question. Lovely. Well, has that been useful? Have you learned some new things? Debbie wants to get her cheerleading pom-poms out for Coach Steph. Yay! Give me a V, give me a C, give me a woo! So lots of thank you to Joy saying a lot of the questions have applied to me. I told you, fabulously helpful, says Christine. Thank you so much. Really good just to be speaking about money. Isn't it great as women to come together and ask these things? Like Sal was like, oh my God, this has been my dirty little secret for a while. And now I'm good on you for being able to go, okay, I'm a bit embarrassed, but this is a situation. Don't you feel lighter now for having done that? You may not have every answer, but it's like, oh, we can talk about the stuff together and it's okay. There is no dumb question in this space. There's only something that you're not clear on and you can get more clarity on. And if I don't have the answer, we've got an awesome group of women, as you've seen, somebody can give you something. So thank you so much. It's such a joy to be able to reconnect with you all after, you know, the intensity of the week, and we go through so much of an emotional journey together. And then it's nice to be able to have this little, if only for that reason, to plug in together a few days later. And I really encourage you to make sure you've got that time allotted for the 10-week wealth turnaround, watching the video, doing the implementation, when you can, the calls. For those of you who need 10 minutes a day to tend to this, diarize that if you haven't already. And our next Q&A call is going to be on the 28th of October at midday. Okay? So go forth, continue on with your momentum. Know that if you haven't had time to do anything up until now, it's good. This is your reset. Let's go. Take it bit by bit. We can do this together. And let's just think about how exciting it's going to feel in 10 weeks' time when you're in a completely different situation, when your money's organized and you feel on top of everything. There's no gremlins lurking in the cupboards. It's going to be fab. And I'm actually going to go back, in full disclosure, I'm going to go back and look at some of the things again and just check in on some of my stuff and see, what I can refresh around my habits and what I've got in place. So I recognize that I hadn't paid into my index tracker for a couple of months. And so immediately after our session, I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. I've got to keep accountable. So much love to you all, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks' time. So, toodaloo, bye-bye. Look at your faces, bye.